A thought for today. I choose to feel only that which is beneficial to my perfect spirit, mind, and body. I am guided from within. I choose to feel only that which is perfect and beneficial to my perfect spirit, mind, and body. I am guided from within. I choose to feel only that which is beneficial to my perfect spirit, mind, and body. I am guided from within. Each one of us has feelings. We have emotional feelings, we have physical feelings, we have all sorts of feelings, feelings of taste, feelings of attitude about other people, which are not emotional, it's just a matter of opinion. We have intellectual feelings, we have feelings of an infinite variety. And these feelings, most of the time, would like to control us. They would like to be in charge of what our attitude is about things, what our way of doing things is. And really, what is your way of doing things? What is your attitude? What is your point of view about anything? What do you really think? If I were to say to you, let's go to town today and go play at the beach, your attitude would be, hey, that sounds like fun. Or, if you had had other plans, and you were planning on going somewhere else or doing something else, you would have a different feeling about it. If I were going to go to see the dentist, and then you said, let's go to town, let's go to the beach. Oh, darn, I got to go see the dentist, I can't go with you. I'm cheated out of that opportunity. Emotions, high feelings. Now, why are you going to the dentist? Are you going to the dentist because it pleases you? Are you going to the dentist because it fulfills a need that you have? Are you going to the dentist because it's your choice? It's your desire? If you're going to the dentist because of those things, well, certainly that should be beneficial. Now, if you're going to the dentist merely to have an opportunity to go in town, to have an opportunity to get away from the ranch, to get away from the experiences you're having in life at the moment, well, that's another thing. But if you're going there because you're going to have work done on your teeth, which is going to make your mouth feel better and help you to eat better and help you just live better, I would think that that would have a priority over going to the beach. But the beach is fun, and the dentist is not fun. I don't know. I think the dentist is lots of fun. I think that the dentist is a wonderful experience. When I come away from the dentist, my mouth smells so fresh, my teeth feel so clean, everything about me feels just brand new again. Working on teeth does that. But sometimes we've been raised to think that going to the dentist is a terrible thing. The drill is so terrible. Everything is so terrible. But yet, if we had a toothache, the drill would not be half as bad as the toothache. So we'd want to get that taken care of. Well, you see, these are all feelings. And the feelings have really nothing to do with hurt or pleasure. It's just attitude. Because if we were thinking of hurt and that our teeth were hurting, we would immediately want to go to the dentist and have it taken care of. Regardless of everyone's going to Disneyland, or regardless that everyone is going out to have an afternoon of fun. Did you ever notice how they plan these special days or these special events just when we have to go to the dentist or something like that? Just when we have to do something different, they plan on having fun. And then we can't go. Ever thought that? Have you ever had that go through your mind? That's an attitude. Pure and simple. The world doesn't rise and fall on fun activities. The world doesn't rise and fall on unfun activities. The world is a pure reflection of our attitude at all times. And our feelings are our attitudes. You see, when you stub your toe doesn't say, ouch. Your head says, ouch. The message is sent up to your brain, and the brain says, oh, there's pain down there. Ouch. Now, if that nerve was not connected from the toe to the brain would never know you stubbed your toe, and you would not feel any pain at all. The purpose of the pain is to remind us that we are damaging some extremity of our being. And in damaging some extremity of our being, that's not beneficial for us. That can be very disastrous. If we are holding our hand over a flame, and we are not aware that the flame is cool, wet moss, and it burns our finger, and we have no sensation in our hands or our finger, so we cannot tell that it is burning us, then we injure and damage our hand in some very interesting way. We should let the feeling, let emotion, let all these things serve their perfect place, serve their proper place. And their proper place is absolutely under our control. If an emotion comes up to you, I've got to do this, immediately change that emotion, that feeling, to I choose to do this. It's going to be a joyful experience. It's going to be something that's going to satisfy me. No matter what comes up, whether it's scrubbing the toilet or washing dishes or writing an article or doing bookkeeping or doing anything, you say, wow, what a great experience I have. I can use my expertise at scrubbing this toilet and make it shine and glisten. The people before me, they didn't clean it very well. They left all sorts of mineral deposits on there, and it looked terrible. It looked just terrible. Don't say that. Don't compare what you do with what anyone else does. Even being sad that they don't know how to clean a toilet properly is not any of our business. We don't say, oh my, oh my, oh my. They'll never make it in the toilet cleaning business. Look at all the mineral stains they left on the toilet bowl, for goodness sakes. See, we don't say things like that. We take everything on an individual basis, on a first-time basis, if you want here and now, nothing else. If you want to take it that way, you've got something beautiful. So you say to yourself, I love everything I do. What a wonderful feeling to develop. I am happy in any circumstance I find myself. What a winning attitude. I like any place where I live. Where I hang my hat, that is my home. And I am welcome there, and I am happy there. It's like Glow writing a letter to Stefan, and she said, after visiting the campus, she realized that she was home again. Well, why did she feel at home? She felt at home because our philosophy, our attitudes, our way of doing things were harmonious with her own. Perhaps not totally, but a good measure. But then again, what home has ever been totally harmonious with everything that we are? If that is true, indeed, that would be paradise, wouldn't it? Our emotions just can be the most happy thing, the thing that keep us in line and the thing that keep us content and fulfilled, if we want them to. But our emotions can also tear us to pieces. It can make us feel unstable. It can make us feel that life really has a lot of problems and it is going to destroy us more rapidly than we ever knew. Now, who would want that in objective thinking? Objectively, we would say, oh, no way am I going to let my emotions do that. No way am I going to let my feeling nature grab a hold of me and control my life. No way. I am the master of my thought. I am the master of my thinking, the master of my healing, the master of my attitudes. Is that right? Is that right? If we are the master of all of ourself, of our attitudes and our feelings, then we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful because then any time that we are not fulfilling our emotional strength, then we feel that we have failed. We feel we are not the master. Now, just because you cannot levitate and you cannot teleport and you cannot read minds and you cannot do all of these wonderful things that many people can do, doesn't make you less of a master. It only means there are some areas of your consciousness that you have yet to enjoy. Reach out and touch someone. Reach out and enjoy the broader scope of your metaphysical, spiritual, physical, mental being. Reach out. Schools teach that sort of thing. If you want to go to some school and learn metaphysical tricks, they teach them. And that's not bad. I call them tricks because they're just tricks. You see, once you recognize that you are totally in charge of yourself, that you're totally responsible for yourself, and that you take responsibility for who you are, you do all those things. Yes, you do all those things. Well, Herb, you do those things? Well, of course. Well, why don't you show them to us? I do all the time, but you don't see them. You think that I do different things, and you say, I think he did that, but I'm not sure. I kind of doubt it. I don't really think that he did that. And then, of course, it isn't done. It's all up to us. Everything is up to us. What do we think? What's our attitude? What's our decision in life? Do you want to do all those things right now? Well, it just takes one simple little thing to do it. One simple little thing. To be one-pointed. Oh, come on now, one-pointed. You're always talking about being one-pointed. That's right. When we are one-pointed in anything, we are a success. When we're dualistic in anything, yeah, I think I can, but I'm not really sure. I'm going to give it a try, but I failed before. But we won't succeed. We won't succeed. Be one-pointed and say, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. In the morning meditation, in the Om, all of you, except Ingeborg, all of you are so diligent in saying, I know. And Ingeborg starts out, I think, because this has been her modus operandi for so many years. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Now I'm taking a sledgehammer and I'm beating her over the head and I'm saying, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. You see, it's just habit. Now Ingeborg's think I can is know I can. But Ingeborg has to say it for us, I know I can. Because if she doesn't, then we think that she thinks she can. And not that she knows she can. You see, that's emotion. That's feelings. It's none of our business to be concerned about what another person thinks or knows. But when we know we can, we accomplish what the world calls miracles. We accomplish outstanding things. We accomplish things that would turn the world upside down and make everybody exceedingly happy. Think about it. Think about it. How often have you succeeded when you thought you could do it? I think I can do that. Let me have a try. Just try, think. I know I can do that. Oh boy, oh boy. You say, I know I can do it. You got to perform. Not necessarily. You should. But if you don't, it's your business. It's your choice. It has nothing to do with somebody else. And the sooner we get our mind made up on that and recognizing that, the sooner we're going to have a lot less problems in our life. Because we have one responsibility, and that's our emotions, our attitude, our thinking, our way of being who we are. And you know, if you call somebody else limited or poor or sad, the only reason you can call them limited, poor, or sad is because you are limited, poor, or sad, really. Well, what about a teacher who says that the student needs to improve here or there? Well, the teacher is limited, poor, and sad. What can the teacher say? The teacher can say, here's how we do it, and I know you can all do it beautifully. With that expectation, they do it. Here's how we do it. Now, I want you to go home and practice and practice and practice until you can do it that way. Now, if you don't get it the first day, we're going to do it again and again and again until you get it. She's presuming that they're not going to get it. Their emotional beingness is set on the idea, this is tough, this is difficult, she's mean to give us that tough thing. But if the teacher gives the class an exceedingly unique, quote, end quote, tough problem, and she says to them, class, I have a surprise for you today. We're going to do something that only our class is able to do, because we have the one-pointedness to do this. It's going to be like falling off a log, a very simple, easy thing for each of you to do. Now, I know you're probably going to do it before you even take it home tonight to work on it. You'll probably be doing it on the way home, click, and it's done. And that's okay. But for our class, it's easy. Some other classes might complain a little bit, but our class, it's easy, because this is a bunch of geniuses here. Every one of you is fantastic. Every one of you are a marvelous student. Every one of you are super, just really super. And of course, the class does amazingly well. And the task might have been far beyond their years, far beyond their grade, far beyond their talent, but they don't know that. All they know is what their teacher tells us. Oh, you're a bunch of stupid kids. The class curve, you can just look at this curve. The majority of the curve is low. There's only one or two students in here that are high, and that's Mary Jane, and that's Johnny. And the rest of you are idiots. Well, emotionally, your feeling nature just takes a nosedive, and you say, why bother? Mary Jane and Johnny always get the top grades, and they mess up the curve for everybody. If Mary Jane and Johnny weren't here, then the curve would be high, and for all of us. The curve is how the grades are. So everybody has 40%, and that's the top of the curve, then wow, you're doing great. But if Mary Jane and Johnny get 90% and the rest of the class get 40%, that looks pretty bad. And that's what many teachers do. Many teachers give their classes an impossible task by saying, this is difficult. This is going to be hard for you to do. This is going to be something that you're going to have a lot of trouble with. Now, don't ask your mom and dads to help you, because they don't know. They'll find it tough, too. My goodness sakes. We do this to ourselves. We've been taught to do this in school by our teachers, and now we do it to ourselves. Oh, that looks tough. I wish I knew all about computers. I wish I knew how to figure out this problem. I wish I knew how to do that. I wish I knew how to bake a cake. Well, you do. You've baked lots of cakes in your life. Trust yourself. Believe in yourself. Sylvia went to the internet and got a recipe for baking a cake, and it probably was quite good, but it wasn't half as good as the one that Sylvia already had in her heart. If she had just followed and believed in herself and made what she knew how to do. You know, we all know how to do very wonderful things. We all know how to do very tasty cakes and tasty pastries and things, and make good meals and take care of our clothing and do all sorts of good things. We all know how to do that. But we rebel. We rebel at learning discipline, at learning one-pointedness. We rebel at following the rules when the rules are just for our learning experience. They're a tool. Putting the towel corner to corner and neatly when you hang it up, it's just a tool. A tool of perfection. A tool of doing things. After a while, you do it like a click. You just do it without even looking. When I hang the towel over the edge of the exercycle, I hold it up so that it just comes up to my chest, and then I drop it down and falls exactly in place. If I try to put it like I think it's going to be, then it's not right. It's not even on all edges. Well, Herb, that's so unimportant. Everything is unimportant. None of you need to do anything. Every one of you could go to the beach and survive, and I don't mean survive, you could live very well. You go to the beach and just loll around in the sand and walk the beach and enjoy the ocean and do whatever you choose to do. And you would have plenty of food to eat, good food. You would have the clothing that appealed to you to wear. You would have a lovely place to stay. You'd be surprised. If you put your mind on being a beachcomber, for instance, that's a person without employment who spends their life on the beach all day, you'd be walking up and down that beach every day. And others would miss it, but you'd find this $400 or $500 bills just laying there. Every day you'd find something like that. Every day you'd find jewelry and diamonds and rings and things. You'd find all whatever was necessary to maintain you in the style that you choose to be. Some days you don't find very much. That's because your attitude is that way. Some days you find an exceeding lot and you start making an account with your stockbroker and building up stock and things like that. Hey, that's cool too. There's lots of channels that flow for us. None of you need to be here at the university. If you think you must be here, it's a big joke. But you're here to get the tools with which to build your perfect awareness. You have had so much dust over your inner diamond that you don't realize how wonderful you are. And when you start polishing off that inner diamond and letting that inner self of your shine through, getting rid of all those emotional attitudes that say, I've got a right to be unhappy. I've got a right to do everything everybody else does. Let's hope not, my goodness. I got a right to experience everything that everybody else does. Would you really like that? Would you really like to experience the joys and the hurts that everybody else does? I kind of doubt that. Our own joys and hurts are enough. And we want to dispose of those hurts so they don't even have to be there anymore. And they're there only because of our attitude. But we're here to get tools to guide us along the path in discipline. Straightening out towels on a towel rack, that's no big deal. But it does help us to develop the discipline of perfection. Because when we hang the towel carefully, then we put the glasses and plates in the dishwasher carefully so they don't get broken. Then we like to have the sink clean and we don't pile things up behind the sink like Mama used to do. Mama had the cleanser out there, and she had the scrub brushes out there, and she had the rags out there, and she had everything on the edge of the sink because that's where it was convenient to dry it. But now we have racks for all these things that Anita has screwed up everywhere, and it's wonderful. You see, we can learn to be tidy, learn to be orderly, and that means we're orderly in our heart, in our mind, in our thinking. We're orderly in our body. We are fantastic. If you have a chance, read A Gift from Self to Self a couple of times. In there are all these answers that we're giving now. A Gift to Self to Self is like a master overview of all the courses that we teach. It takes it gently. It doesn't cover the depth that many of the courses cover, but it's the overview. And if you can live up to just a third of what you read in that book, your life would be so remarkably happy. Your emotions and feelings would be so wonderfully in control. Not really in control, but you would not have negative emotions, which could hurt, limit, or restrain you from doing the things that you really want to do. When we are the master of our thought and our attitudes and our emotions, wonderful things happen. Now, one of you made a remark the other day, "I don't want to talk about master anymore. I don't want to mention the word master anymore. I don't want to say that master anymore." Get off it. It's just a word. It's just a word like love. So you're jilted in love. So your girlfriend or boyfriend ran away and left you and said, shove it up your nose. You weren't such a great lover. You're only second rate. And so you hate the word love and you don't want to hear love. How silly. If anyone ever says that to you or jilts you, your feelings are torn asunder. Well, don't let it happen. Because they see in you the very things that they're experiencing in themselves, and they're hurting. They're hurting not necessarily because they hurt you, but because you were not strong enough to believe in yourself and know that you are the greatest lover in the world. To know that you are the most beautiful, desirable being on the face of the earth. We're not comparing, we're just saying you are your greatest personal best. Think of that. When you are your greatest personal best, do you think that anyone could ever not be happy with you? No. Because you don't create people in your world who are not happy with you. Enter into this awareness of who you are. Enter into this awareness of what you are. And begin to experience now the great joy, the great wonder, the great love, the great peace that you are. You are a wonderful being. And you are a wonderful being because you are in charge of your emotions. You are in charge of your feelings. I choose to feel only that which is beneficial to my perfect spirit, mind, and body. I am guided from within. I choose to feel only that which is beneficial to my perfect spirit, mind, and body. I am guided from within. I choose to feel only that which is beneficial to my perfect spirit, mind, and body. I am guided from within. I love you.